All right, we're glad to have you online with us here at Eastside. We had a very blessed morning being able to worship God together, assembled here at the building. And we're happy to have this online vehicle where we can come to you in your homes and again study God's Word together. God is blessing us through a difficult time, and we're thankful for that. We rely on Him, we trust on Him, in Him for everything. And He's blessed us with many opportunities to do good, and we're thankful for that. We appreciate so much Him as our God and we as His children and that relationship that we get to share with Him if we're people of faith. But even the greatest person of faith would feel at times that they need their faith to be stronger. We're going to see that in the lesson tonight. I hope that we all understand that when we feel in our walk with God that our faith is not what it ought to be, that we're having struggles in the area of our faith, we're having doubts, that's not necessarily an unusual thing. It's good to recognize it when it happens, to know that we need stronger faith. Jesus has the answer for us. He addressed that with His apostles. We'll be talking about that tonight. And we'll be looking at some ways that we can develop stronger faith and what that would look like in our lives. Let's start with these facts. As we live in the world that we're living in today, where it's such a faithless and godless world in so many ways, people denying the very existence of God, pressures from our society and even our educators to fail to believe in the God of the Bible, pressures from society to deny Bible morality. So many times people question us about our faith, laugh at us because of our faith. But we need to start with these fundamentals. Our faith is a very reasonable thing. In fact, I believe that faith in God and in the God of the Bible is much more reasonable than doubt in God and the God of the Bible. It's reasonable to believe as you look at the creation around us and you see its design and its beauty. It's reasonable to believe that everything was created by an intelligent designer. It's really unreasonable to believe that all of it happened by chance. And so faith in God as an intelligent, all-powerful designer is an extraordinarily reasonable belief. It's reasonable to believe that a book that claims to be God's Word is God's Word when you consider how accurate it is about so many things. History, geography, science. It's not a book of history. It's not a book of geography. It's not a book of science. But all of the things that it addresses we find to be accurate and true when they're tested. And beyond that, we see in the Bible many prophecies that were made well ahead of occurrence of events which man could not have known would happen. Only God, only a supernatural power could have known the future, as was predicted in so many Bible prophecies. Prophecies about nations and peoples, cities, things that would happen hundreds of years ahead of the time that they were prophesied. Is there a better explanation for that than that the Bible is truly a product of the divine, that deity inspired Scripture? It's God's Word. And when you look at the miracles that are recorded in the Bible, written by witnesses who saw the events occur, who saw the supernatural things happen, and attest to the fact that divine power did those things. A lot of people look at the miracles of the Bible as if that's a negative to our faith, but really it's a positive thing. So many people attested to those miracles in Scripture, witnesses that saw the miracles of Jesus, witnesses that saw the miracles of the apostles. They attested those things. They were willing to give their lives because they believed that those things occurred. That testimony, that evidence can't be taken lightly. And so without going into great detail and just sort of skimming the surface of those ideas, let's begin with this concept that your faith and mine, if we believe in God and the God of the Bible, it's a very reasonable faith. It's much more reasonable than any alternative. And despite what the world might say to cast doubt upon our faith, let's plant our feet there, that our faith makes sense, that it is reasonable to believe. The testimony that people had concerning Jesus Christ, the miracles that He did, and the fact that He rose from the dead, that testimony was believed by a lot of people in New Testament times who saw Jesus, who heard the testimony of the apostles. When you come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the apostle Peter standing up with the other apostles and preaching the gospel, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Those people saw the miracles. They knew that Jesus had performed those miracles. There was nobody that stood up on the day of Pentecost when thousands and thousands of people were gathered there. There was nobody that stood up and said, "Wait, Jesus never did a miracle. We don't believe in Jesus as a miracle worker." Nobody protested. And 3,000 people right there on that day came to believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son, as the Christ, repented of their sins, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. That's an amazing fact of history. See, Jesus demonstrated himself to be who he said he was by those miracles. And yet, with all of that being true, even those who knew the prophecies and knew that they'd been fulfilled, even those who saw the miracles, sometimes chose, against all reason, not to believe. And some of them who did believe didn't believe as strongly as they would have liked, understood that was not what it should have been, that they themselves had doubts. Sometimes their faith was weak, too weak to overcome the daily trials and challenges of following Jesus Christ. And so that brings us in our study to the reality that we all need stronger faith. No matter how strong our faith is, no matter how reasonable we understand our faith to be, we all of us need stronger faith. Certainly the apostles of Jesus recognized that, and if they did, we should recognize it too. In Luke chapter 17, the text says in verse 3, Jesus talking, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Jesus and the apostles both understood that the apostles needed stronger faith. They needed their faith increased. And Jesus is challenging them to increase their faith. We need stronger faith. We need stronger faith, if you look at this context, we need stronger faith to forgive the persistent sinner who repents. We've all had that experience. Maybe we are experiencing it even now with somebody, where you have someone who claims to be a follower of Christ, who claims to be a child of God, and yet they're constantly sinning. Maybe it's the same sin. Maybe they're sinning against you. And that's the scenario Jesus has us look at in this very context. Suppose somebody sins against you 7 times in the same day, and 7 times comes to you and says, "I repent." Jesus says, "Forgive him." And it's right after Jesus tells his apostles to do that, that they say to him, "Increase our faith." It takes a lot of faith in God's way of doing things to forgive somebody who's having such a spiritual struggle, who offends you over and over and over again, and ask you to forgive them and tells you that they're repenting, that they're changing. We know there are a lot of other scriptures on that point. You know, if a person's truly going to repent, they need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Somebody who's faithless is not being honest with themselves, is not being honest with others about their repentance. And so there are other things that we should certainly consider, but still we have this obligation, if we are people of faith, to forgive another person of faith who's having struggle, who is sinning, who is striving to overcome and falling on his face over and over again, who really wants to do better and who's asking our forgiveness. It takes a lot of faith to forgive that person. It takes a lot of faith at times to believe God's promises. God has promised us many extraordinary things. Speaking about forgiveness, he's promised to forgive our sins. That has to be accepted by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith that God will do what he says when we've met the conditions for pardon that he's laid out in his word. And so when a person believes in Jesus Christ and turns away from sin and he's baptized in water for the remission of his sins, it's by faith that he accepts that remission, that he accepts that forgiveness. So many people have trouble accepting their own forgiveness from God, and it's all a matter of faith. But that is a promise from God. It's a promise from him. Think about Abraham. Classic example. Here's a man God comes to and he tells him that he's going to be a father, even though he's 90 years old and his wife is well past the age that a woman would normally be able to bear children. God tells him, you're going to have a son. And the text tells us in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 that not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, God can do what he promises, no matter how incredible it may seem to us. God will do what he promises, no matter how incredible it may seem to us. And no matter how terrible our sins and how deep the stain on our souls, God has promised us that through the blood of Christ, through being washed in the blood of the Lamb, we can be clean, white as snow. He's promised us that our robes can be washed in the precious blood of his Son. That's a promise we have to accept by faith. So many things in our lives as Christians hinge on believing promises of God, believing that his way is right and his way will work because he said it would. Even when, if we look at the world, we think about things from a human standpoint, it may not seem so. But as we'll see in a little while, with God, all things are possible. We must believe that he can and will see his promises. And it's people who didn't believe that. It's people who didn't believe in the promises of God that suffered loss, that fell. You think about the Israelites in the Old Testament. God had told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then repeated the promise to the Israelites later on, that they would be given this land, this promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet when the Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage and they sent the spies to spy out the land, and the spies came back and said, 10 of them said, we can't take it. We can't take the land. And most of the Israelites didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the promise. And they failed. Their faith failed them, and so they failed. And they did not enter the promised land, not because they couldn't, but because their faith would not allow them to do so. God was ready to give it to them. They had no faith in his promise. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19 about them that we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. It all hinged on their belief. It didn't hinge on the power of God. It didn't hinge on his faithfulness. It didn't hinge on even their ability to go into the land. It hinged on their faith. And that's how it is with us today. Life in Christ, all of it, hinges on our faith. That's the critical thing. We need to believe God's promises. We need faith to suffer persecutions and tribulations and troubles. And we'll surely have those. Some of us are experiencing them right now on an individual basis. Our nation is experiencing all sorts of trials with the pandemic, with racial tension, with other problems that are going on with the economy, with job loss, and you name it. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of tribulation going on in the world right now. How do we deal with that? For a Christian, we deal with it in faith. In Acts 14, verses 21 and 22, Paul and Barnabas had been preaching the gospel, converting people to Christ, planting churches. They'd suffered persecution and tribulation, as had some that they preached to. In Acts 14 and verse 21, when they preached the gospel in one city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. To be a Christian is to experience trouble and tribulation. It's not an easy road. It's a narrow and difficult way, Jesus promised. There are temptations, there are trials all along the way. There's suffering that we must endure, suffering that's common to mankind, but also suffering that's peculiar to being a Christian. And we must endure all of that, and the only way to endure it and come out better on the other end is through faith. But that is the promise, that if you suffer tribulation through faith, you can be better when you come out on the other end. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved through various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." See, our faith has an end. It has a goal that it's pointing to. It has a destination that we're trying to get to, the salvation of our souls. And the road between here and there is a difficult road. And it can only be walked and traversed by faith in God who's made the promise, by faith in God who sent his Son, by faith in God who raised his Son from the dead, by faith in God who's blessed us with his word, the message of salvation, the gospel of redemption. The road must be walked. The treacherous road, the hard road, the long road must be walked by faith. But the destination is glorious. We need faith. We need more faith to walk that road, don't we? So many things, unexpected things, will trouble us in our lives. Things we didn't see coming. Things we never thought would happen to us. We saw them happen to others, but we didn't think they'd come to us. But they do. We need faith in those troubled times. Do you see it? Do you see your need for increased faith? We need faith to be patient and long-suffering. In Colossians 1 and verse 11, Paul prays for the Colossians that they'd be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for patience and long-suffering with joy. It's one thing to be patient when you're going through hard times, to be steadfast, to persevere in difficulties. And it's one thing to be long-suffering when people do you wrong, when somebody's just an aggravation to you all the time and yet you're struggling to suffer long with them. It's one thing to be patient and long-suffering, but it's another thing to be patient and long-suffering with joy. And let me tell you, that takes a lot of faith, a lot of faith and trust in God who's asking us to do that. It takes faith to be patient and long-suffering with others. Sometimes it takes faith to be patient and long-suffering with ourselves. You ever get disappointed in yourself? I do. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of long-suffering to just deal with yourself sometimes. The way you disappoint yourself, the way you do things that you didn't intend to do, don't do things that you feel like you should have done. It takes a lot of patience and long-suffering to deal with yourself. But remember, God is patient and long-suffering with you and with me. It takes patience and long-suffering sometimes just to be able to deal with our circumstances. This virus that we wished would be over, you know, in a week or two, that we hoped would be gone by the summer. Well, the summer is almost here. It's not going to be gone. It's going to take a lot more patience and long-suffering than we had hoped. We have circumstances in our lives all the time that take more out of us, that require more of us than we ever imagined. We need patience and long-suffering. And all of that comes from trusting God, from faith in Him. We need patience and long-suffering, truly. We need our faith increased. We need our faith increased to trust God to supply our needs. Do we do that? Are we worried right now? Are we overly concerned about our health, our future financially, the well-being of our nation? You know, God's promised to take care of our needs. Like we've said, things may not always be easy, but God will take care of us and give us what He deems that we need. Jesus made the promise in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30 about our clothing and our needs. And he says that God clothes the grass of the field, the lilies of the field. They don't toil or make clothing or make cloth. But even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Jesus said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So right now, maybe in your life, you're looking at things, all of the things that you don't have, all of the things that you wonder if you're going to be able to have. The problem is little faith. The problem is not God's supply. The problem is not with God's ability to take care of you. The problem is with your faith in his ability to take care of you. To give you and I what we need, what we really need. To know what we need better than we know ourselves. I can assure you that he does know that. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He provides for us like he does for all creatures. So here are some things that we need stronger faith for, and the list could go on and on. Maybe you're thinking about your life and none of these really hit home with you, but you do know that in your life somewhere there's a need for stronger faith. And you felt, maybe even in the past weeks and months, you have felt that seed of doubt, that struggle with your faith, that wondering what life is all about. Maybe you felt that. What's stronger faith like, and how does it come? Jesus, in talking to his disciples here in Luke 17, has a really simple answer to that question. It's an answer where he uses a very basic illustration. And he said, what you need is faith as a mustard seed. And you might think, well, that didn't really help me much. You know, what does that mean? I'm not a mustard seed? Am I just supposed to automatically snap my fingers and have faith like a mustard seed? Think about that mustard seed with me for a minute. It's a really small seed, extremely small. You see it in the picture here in the hand of somebody. Maybe hundreds of seeds in that man's hand. And yet it grows into a huge bush. Jesus says, you know, even the birds could make a nest in the plant that the mustard seed becomes. And from that tiny beginning, it becomes such a big thing. And all of that happens because of the power and the design of God. Do you realize that? All right, let's think about ourselves. What we need to start with is this, that we are all of us really small things. We are really small. We are in and of ourselves quite incapable. But God has designed us to do great things through his power, through his design. And we can do them because he's made us that way. Because he's empowered us to be that way. The mustard seed didn't design itself. The mustard seed's power and ability to achieve great things came from God. Do you get that? That's the design of God. That's the design in you and in me. But if we don't start with the idea that we're small to begin with, if we think, oh, I'm big enough to do and provide for myself and you know, decide for myself and fulfill my dreams, my aspirations by myself and my own strength, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. You're not going to succeed. If you start by thinking that you're big, it's not going to happen. It's the one who realizes how small he is, but that God has created him to do great things through God's power. That's the person. That's where we need to be tonight. You want your faith increased? It comes by relying on God and not yourself. It comes by understanding that God created you small. He didn't create you big. He created you small. He created me small. And if we're ever going to achieve anything, it's through his might and his power and his grace that it will happen. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. Faith is as a mustard seed when it sees possibilities and not obstacles. Possibilities because of the power of God. If you have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus says, and he says it not just here in Luke 17. He also says it in Matthew chapter 17. In that text, in Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, Jesus' disciples had failed to perform a miracle. There was a boy who was an epileptic with a mute spirit, and they tried to cast out the evil spirit, and they couldn't do it. The disciples in Matthew 17 and verse 19 come to Jesus privately, and they say, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." But it's the faith that's critical to that operation. Do you see that? The apostles were not going to move the mountain on their own power. They weren't going to cast out that demon on their own power. Jesus goes on to say, this kind doesn't come out with anything but with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. They needed to turn to God to help them do that. That apparently is something they did not do. We need to turn to God. It's not our own mind or ability that's going to achieve these great things that God wants us to achieve, experience, and do in our lives. It's trust in Him that will enable those things to happen. We must have faith. We must have faith in faith. How many times in His ministry does Jesus tell somebody, just believe, believe, have faith? How many times does He chastise His apostles for not having enough faith, having weak faith, having little faith, having no faith at times? How many times does He have to say it to us? How many times does Paul in the book of Romans talk to us about the power of faith, the importance of believing? We see it over and over again in the Gospel of John. The problem that Jesus encountered with so many people was a lack of faith. They didn't believe because they didn't choose to believe. So it is with us today. We need that faith of a mustard seed. We need to understand the power of faith, the power of believing. So many things can happen. Just you notice it in day-to-day life, just because people believe they can make them happen. And that's not even taking God into account. But imagine if we can take God into account and we believe God can make them happen and He can use us to make them happen and we have strong conviction about that. Those things will happen. We must have faith in faith. This kind of faith is the faith that makes all things possible. In Mark's record of the healing of the epileptic boy, in Mark 9, verses 17 through 24, Jesus tells the father of the boy, who's coming to him and pleading for help for his son, he tells him, "All things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. The father declares, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. That's what we need. We believe. We need Him to help our unbelief. We need to have more faith in faith. Faith is daring the soul to go farther than it can see. It's believing in the unseen. In fact, that's virtually the biblical description of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is a conviction of things hoped for, a certainty of things that are not seen. Some translations say a conviction or evidence of things that are not seen. That's the nature of faith. We can't see it. We can't see it happening. But faith says that it will through God's power and through His grace. So we want to overthink all of that. That's our problem. When we begin to have doubts, when we begin to look at what we call reality, which is just things in this physical world, and see how difficult something is, you know, to achieve, or something is to happen. We look at that and we see, "Oh, I just don't know if that's possible." We're not really believing in faith. So imagine with me, if you will, that you're on the sixth floor of a high-rise building and the whole thing's on fire. And you're at a window on the sixth floor and the window is open and there are firemen below, and they've got this big net out, and they're ready to catch you, and you know they practice this, and maybe they've done it times before, but you don't know all of that. So you're looking at the fire as it comes into your room, and the smoke is billowing out the windows, and here you are, and they're telling you to jump, and it'll all be all right, and you'll be safe. And what's your response to that? What do you say? Do you say, I will not jump until you give me some answers to some important questions? First of all, how did this fire get started? Secondly, how has it spread so quickly? Thirdly, what happened to the sprinkler system? Fourthly, how do I know that that net's going to hold me? And until you give me answers to these questions, I'm not jumping. Is that what you say? I don't think so. Because faith becomes a necessity. You don't have all the answers to all the questions. A lot of things don't make sense. But faith is a necessity. For only faith will work. I have to have faith in faith. That's the key. That's the key to the matter. Faith enables us through God's power to do the incredible. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the kind of faith that he had when he was in Roman prison on trial for his life. He'd already been before Caesar. He'd not been delivered to the lions after that first trial, and he knew that the Lord had stood by him and delivered him. And he says in writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message was fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord was with him. Paul knew that the impossible had happened. We need faith to overcome so much that we face in this world. We've got to believe in it. We've got to know that it works, because nothing else will. Here is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That's the promise of the Apostle John, writing by inspiration in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Again, the key is that faith looks beyond immediate difficulties and struggles to the positive results that can come even though they're unseen. Looks beyond the difficulties of this life onto the eternal. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. Paul's telling Timothy, you fight faith. You fight that good fight of faith. You fight by faith because you're looking at the unseen. You're looking toward the eternal. Our focus is not, as Paul writes, is not on the here and now. We don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen, he says, are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And it's that unseen realm that we look toward. C.S. Lewis called the world that we're living in now the shadow lands. This isn't really reality. This is the shadow of reality. Eternity is real. We must know that by faith. God help us to know that. This journey of faith, where we need faith and where we need our faith increased all along the way, this journey of faith has a beginning step. It's hearing the gospel of Christ, hearing the story of Jesus, his life, who he was, what he did, the fact of his death, his resurrection, how we can take advantage of that to gain life everlasting. This journey begins with faith in Christ and what God can do for you in baptism. The mountain that you're looking at in that picture is Pikes Peak. Many years in my life, the first thing that I saw in the morning when I got up was Pikes Peak. We lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and that mountain was a daily part of my life. I've told this before, but There might have been some times when, as a boy, I wished the day would have been a little bit longer. But the day ended when the sun got behind that mountain. And I couldn't move that mountain. Jesus says, faith can move a mountain. Right now, you may in your life have a mountain of sin obstructing your view of the Son, Jesus Christ. It's only through faith that that mountain's going to move. That mountain of sin that's weighing you down, that's ruining your day, can only be moved through faith. And that faith exhibits itself in baptism. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see what's said there? It's through faith that we become children of God. And we demonstrate that faith. The action is to be baptized into Christ. And in so doing, we put on Christ. All of that happens by faith. And then Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 describes Christians who are buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Some people say, well, you know, there's no magic in the water. No, the power, not magic, the power is in God. And it works through faith. How many people did Jesus heal because of their faith? How many times did He say, your faith has made you whole? Even so, it is in baptism. It's not the doing. It's not the blind man, you know, the water in the pool of Siloam. It's that's not what heals a person. It's the act of faith. It's the faith in doing what God said. And what He said for you and me to do is believe in His Son and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Right now, tonight, if you have not done that, we encourage you to. And if we can help you here at the Eastside Church of Christ, we would be so happy. Contact us. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org. Look up my email address, the email addresses of the elders. Let us know that you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Call the building here, area code 256-232-4666. And we'll get with you. And we'll help you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to demonstrate your faith in the Son of God. We thank you for tuning in to our broadcast tonight. Pray that your day has been good and you've been blessed as you've thought with us tonight about increasing your faith. Again, if we can help you in any way, get in contact with us. Have a blessed week. Continue to study God's Word, striving to live a life of faith.